is broken.
Yeah.
It really is.
It should be. That's why, for 5 years, I stayed away, because I said, these guys have a knack for breaking my heart, and I can't let them do that again, and then they did it again.
Dave Ennett has stayed with us in the studio.
Dr. Dave.
Yeah, you have to talk us off the ledge. But can I just say, when Cody Parkey did what he does, because that's what he do.
That's what he does better than anyone in the history of the NFL.
Absolutely. At that moment, when we lost it, the first person I thought of was Bill Leff, who is going to go... Neener,
I'm not neenering. I am not going to neener. I'm just
saying,
they have, in my lifetime, they have found a way week after week after week of breaking my heart. And yesterday I said, well, they're not going to do that again. And then they did.
Dave, they wouldn't have gone much farther, in my opinion.
Oh, I don't know.
You know what? I mean, it's the kind of thing, if you, it's win in advance, and if you can survive... When you maybe get a tough game, and the next week you get some confidence going, you go into L.A., you knock off the Rams. They've been sitting around for a couple of weeks. You just
don't
never know.
Don't you think, Dave, that the other teams that are still in it, your Rams, your Saints, and so on, they kept looking at the Bears as that's the defense I least want to face of anybody in football right now?
I think if you'd said, you know how we said, well, boy, I'm not sure I want to play them in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Like right now, no one wants to play the Colts because they're hot. And I think there were some people saying, you don't really want to play the Eagles. And they are the defending Super Bowl champs, and they're finishing the regular season strong. But I heard a lot of people say, wow, you don't want to go up against the Bears because that defense in the playoffs, that can win you a game.
Right.
One more play.
One more play.
It would have been different.
Right, right. All right, so there's a couple things. Thing number one, take that final kick out of the equation for just a second.
Mm-hmm.
There was a time when the Bears scored the touchdown that instead of going for the extra point, they went for a two-point conversion. So as it turns out, not such a great idea. In the early days, when they first came up with the idea of the two-point conversion, I heard football experts say, only try it if you absolutely need it. Go for the extra point. Don't gamble on a two-point conversion.
When Cody Parkey kicks your ball, maybe you do go for the two-point conversion.
Well, what do you think?
Well, I think that's part of it now. That
they have so little
faith
in him.
Going, well, not just him, but you see teams going for two in game situations in which they didn't used to.
Mm-hmm.
And part of it is they've moved back the extra point. It's no longer the old automatic. Although most NFL kickers are going to make most of their PATs. But these coaches also have this.
That's a pat for those of you who are not into football lingo.
That's correct.
A pat. We
go out and kick the pat.
Yeah, we say that.
But
what is it?
And then Pat gets angry.
Point what after is, touchdown.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Sorry.
Yeah, that's right.
These coaches.
It was named after
chart.
Pat Summerall, right?
Correct.
Yeah.
He was a great kicker.
The best. He was so good.
For the Chicago Cardinals.
Yes, he was.
As a matter of fact.
Yeah.
I think you've got the chart, which tells coaches when to go for it, what situations to go for it. But there's also, I think, gut instinct now. You see coaches more and more at all levels of football. I see in college football all the time where in years past, you would not have seen a coach go for it on fourth down or go for a two-point conversion, and they'll kind of roll the dice and do it.
Yeah.
And so, and in this case... I mean, remember Philadelphia at the end trying to get it to be a three-point game.
Right.
They went for two.
Right.
And they were stopped on that up and over play.
Right, 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 right.
So
beginning of the game, Jake Elliott hits the field goal. He went to, he's from my neighborhood.
Right.
Proud, thought, oh, that's cool. I hope it doesn't come down to us losing the game because of that.
Right.
And then as I'm watching the Jake Elliott kick, I'm like, I hope this game doesn't come down to Cody Parkey. I really.
So was everyone
I know,
in Chicago.
So was Matt Nagy
everyone.
Hoping that. So why didn't you do stuff to try and prevent that?
Well, they did. Didn't they?
Well, I think they're hoping that it's never going to come down to a field goal to win the game. And they had plenty of opportunities. Both teams did.
Yeah.
Remember, before the Eagles went on their game-winning drive, they got the ball after the Bears had scored, and they ended up being stopped and had to punt it back to the Bears. Right there, if the Bears put a drive together, that's probably the ball game.
Yeah. Right.
But I think Trubisky, if I'm not mistaken, got sacked on that drive. You can go back and you can look at this play. I mean, there was a great punt by O'Donnell early
incredible
in the game.
Incredible punt.
Inside the 1 yard line, and then a poor one later in the game.
Why can't, here's something I've always wondered, And I hope you can answer this because I can't figure this out. Why can't the guy who's your punter also be your kicker? It's kind of the same skill set, kind of.
Well, in some cases, there are teams
it's
that have
very
doubled
rare.
Up, but,
it every
but
once
very
in a
rare
while.
Because they feel like it's putting too much of a workload potentially on a guy who you're going to call on to come out and win a game for you,
right?
With a 43-yard field goal with just a few seconds to go,
yeah.
And you also you want to kind of minimize the workload a little bit. I think that's part of it. I think there's more specialization now in kicking than used to be. You got the ball and you just let
kick it
fly,
as far as
right?
you can.
Yeah. And maybe you angled it towards the coffin corner, which a term you never hear anymore.
Yeah.
But that's really, there's rugby style. They put all kinds of spin on the ball that
right.
punters didn't used to do.
Right.
So I think there's a little more specialization there than
there used
to be.
Why has that strategy of kicking it to the corner disappeared?
Well, I don't think that it's, I think it's more the terminology than.
Really?
But I also think, Steve, it's more accentuating hang time, and also you don't worry as much about you'd love to kick it out inside the 5-yard line, of course,
sure.
but I think it's more pinning your opponent somewhere inside their 20, and if you can do that, get a high punt or just kick it high enough that they're going to fair catch it. I mean, did Tariq Cohen run back a punt yesterday? He fair caught every punt, I
right.
believe, so I think that all enters into it too.
Yeah. Can you stay for a little bit?
Yeah, because I have the question of all questions
Wendy
for you.
Wendy has the question of all questions for you.
I can't. Well, how can
you
I leave?
You can't leave now?
Because I want to hear the all
right,
question
all right.
of all questions.
Coming up,
probably
Wendy,
gonna suck now, but
with
whatever.
The question of all questions that's coming your way next. Dave Ennett's sticking by. Chicago's being flown at half-mast this morning. You know why. Stick around. Bill and Wendy, WGN.
Everybody hurts sometimes.
It's Bill
Wendy, you have the question of all questions.
Yes, I do. Here's the question of all questions, directed to both of you.
All right.
But I need an expert such as Dave Ennett
Dave
in here.
Dave will come through with that then.
All right. I didn't know that ball was tipped when it hit the goalpost last night. Many
it
of us did
tipped.
Not.
15% is standard, by the way.
I thought it was 20.
Well, you skate. Give 20 if business is good, yeah.
Does that make a difference to you, to anyone watching? Does that make a difference that Cody Parkey hit the goalpost and the crossbar because it was tipped?
Well, here's the question of all questions.
Oh, you're topping my question of all
well,
questions?
Well, this is a question
the answer
about
of all
the question
answers?
Of all questions. Is was it tipped because of the way he struck the ball? Was it hit because the guy for the Eagles, Trayvon Jackson, just made a great play? Or was there a breakdown in blocking that enabled him? And did it really have that much of an impact on the kick? Which
right.
is hard. It's very hard to decipher. Look, if you're going frame
maybe
by
he
frame,
tipped it as such that made it even closer to the upright. You know what I mean? Maybe it was going to go way to the...
Yeah, well, that's
maybe
that's
he made
possible.
It look closer.
But the thing, and we were just talking to Adam Hoge about this. I know you're going to talk to him next hour. But he said when you really look at it, you see that once the ball clears the line of scrimmage, that there is a difference in the spin, which you can determine based on the rotation of the laces. So you could, it did definitely have some sort of an impact. Was it enough to cause him to miss, or was it, or the other way? Did it somehow recenter the ball?
Right.
I don't know. I think if you have to really go to the tape and go frame by frame to really determine that a finger literally touched the ball,
yeah.
then I don't think you can say that that's the reason that he missed the kick.
My friend Abraham Zabruder is doing that as we speak.
That's what I heard.
I have the second question of all questions also.
You have two question of all questions in one day?
Yes.
That's amazing.
I just forgot it. I totally did.
Oh. Well, can I throw in a quick one then
yes.
while you're waiting? All right. So Cody Parkey, after the game, obviously shaken up and sad, but still did what he needed to do. He still answered reporters' questions. You give him credit for that. So he said that everybody on the team came up to him afterwards and said, "We've got your back. We love you." Do you think everyone on the team said that, or do you think there was one or two guys that went, I'm not going to do that?
Yeah, and who were they?
Who were they? Name
well,
those guys.
I wouldn't be surprised if most guys came up to him and said, hey, hey, you know, give him a pat on the back. Hey, we love you still and all that.
Yeah.
Hope you're not our kicker next year. But right. No, I mean, right. I do think that on a team that guys act that way. And yeah. I think it's something that,
sure.
Because look, on any play,
yeah.
Anybody, you can have a wide receiver running free with no defender within 20 yards of him, drop a touchdown pass.
Sure.
What if on that last drive, Trubisky thrown an interception? What if somebody had fumbled? What if Tariq Cohen had fumbled that kickoff?
Anything can happen.
Before that. And you never know when you're going to be the guy.
Right.
Who now, obviously, it's crystallized when you have a kicker. And I've always said there are three jobs in sports that I can't understand why anybody would want. One is a kicker, one's a closer in baseball, and one's a goaltender or a goalkeeper in soccer or a goaltender in the National Hockey League. Why you'd want that job is beyond me.
All the pressure's on you.
You know, and I think you see guys who just, you know, at some point the pressure of that job gets to them.
But you know, the thing, Dave, is the closer or the goalies, they're seen as studs, you know? Now look at those guys, they're great. And then people look down on kickers.
Because they're so much different than the other guys they're out there with.
I guess it's true.
Size standpoint, because they're...
And because when they're warming up, they look like little mini Rockettes.
There are lots of
that. except for Sebastian Janikowski.
Right.
I think he's the exception.
He looks like Lex Luthor.
There are lots of guys on the field who can block or who can catch a pass or can run with the ball, but there's only one out there that kicks like that.
It's true.
Now, here's the second part of my question.
Yeah.
Because I said, do you think every guy in the team said, hey, we understand what your friend is?
I said, I think most of them.
Most of them. All right. So when you go back to the tough guy era of football, remember Art Shell? Art Shell was a guy, I was always afraid when you saw Art Shell, that he was just going to take a bite out of a guy. You know, he was just ferocious looking. Do you think in that era that it would have been that same thing with the kicker where they go, we told him we loved him and we've got his back? I don't think so.
No, it wasn't. In fact, I think, and I want to say Hamp told this story. I think there was a game. I actually think when the Bears beat the Giants at the Meadowlands in 1977 to make the playoffs for the first time since 63,
yeah.
They got a field goal from Bob Thomas in overtime to win the game and go to the playoffs for the first time in 14 years. And I seem to remember somebody telling – now, this might have been a different game, different situation, but it happened with the Bears where they told, and Steve, maybe you remember, but they told him, make this kick or don't come back.
Oh, no, really?
I mean, his teammates.
Wow.
And I do think that there was that
mentality.
That's the way it was back then. I don't think that if you asked Butkus and those guys, if they had a lot of use for the kicker,
right?
You know, they would tell you it's not my favorite guy on the team.
It was good to see Butkus yesterday.
Yeah, at the very beginning
with Urlacher.
Yeah,
I remembered my second
what
question
is your
of
second
all
question?
Questions. When Cody Parkey went up there to end the football game, and he had been successful in two field goal attempts prior, correct?
Three.
Okay. So he's ready to roll. I'm thinking, you know what? He's got it in his head. And then the Eagles do an incredible mind trick and call a timeout.
Freeze the kicker.
Oh, my God. That had to mess with his head. But I'm thinking, if I'm Cody Parkey, I'm like, okay, I've done it. I'm 4 for 4 here. I got one more in me. What happened right then?
That happens all the time where a team will take a timeout.
Genius,
just as
quite honestly.
Ready to, if you got the timeout, I mean, it's not going to do Philadelphia any good at that point. They've got that timeout. Might as well use it. See if somehow it causes him to have to, you know, sit there and, you're icing the kicker. Well, kickers are instructed, go ahead and swing that leg and kick it because it's a practice swing. It's just like you're playing tennis.
Yeah.
You practice your serve before you actually throw the ball up and serve, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
In golf, you take a practice swing. It's sort of the same deal.
Yeah. And they could have continued that because they still had, I think, two more timeouts, right? Couldn't they have done that again?
I wish they would have the second time.
But if I'm him, I'm like, they're going to keep freezing me until they're out of timeouts.
At some point, you got to kick the ball.
Right.
You know?
At some point.
There must be numbers, right? I'm sorry if you guys just said this, about how often a kicker misses after a freeze timeout.
See,
it doesn't seem to happen very often.
I don't think it happens very often. Right. I think more often
than not,
job. The kicker makes it.
Yeah, because that's his only job to do.
No question.
And I tried to find statistics of the worst kicker in the NFL, and I had a very hard time trying to find it. But what I did find, Cody Parkey's not at the end.
You mean percentage-wise?
He had the second most missed kicks this year. And There was a stat I saw this morning that since the Bears cut him, Robbie Gould, let me see if I have this stat.
This is going to be painful.
Yep. He's made 82 of 85 field goal attempts with the Giants and 49ers, and the Bears kickers have gone 60 something of 79, something like that.
So it sounds like a bad decision.
So are we going to get him back, in your opinion? He's a free agent, isn't he, after this season?
I don't know, but I certainly wouldn't rule it out. I think the Bears, my guess would be the Bears have somebody else kicking next year. I think it would be tough.
I would double my price tag.
Imagine if Cody Parkey misses a field goal.
Yes.
The first time he comes out for a kick.
Right.
Can you imagine what the crowd's going to be like if it's at Soldier Field?
Bill Buckner would be heckling him.
Probably.
John Williams popped in the studio.
As a former high school and college field goal kicker, my heart broke yesterday.
Oh, yeah. I bet.
And I've seen the number, Dave. I can't recall it either, but you're right. The instances where the freeze changes the outcome are negligible. It really doesn't generally change the outcome that much.
It's a practice swing.
It kind of is. But have we all had a conversation about the fact that the Bears lost that game by 1 point and we didn't kick the extra point? I mean, is anybody mad at the coach?
Yeah, we've talked about that.
Taking the ball out of his foot there.
I'm mad at Matt Nagy for putting Cody Parkey in.
I'm mad at Matt Nagy for calling himself Nagy. Isn't it Nagy?
We've discussed
that. I said this because
I have had this conversation.
Yeah, they call me Nagy at home. I want Nagy.
But you don't have a visor. You got to get a visor.
No, but what's with the Eagles coach stealing the look?
He had a visor.
What was that, a mind game?
They work together.
I know.
I'll get out of the way. I just wanted to add that.
So when you
did kick
this,
for us?
You did
Will
this
you kick
in high
for
school?
The Bears?
Did John kick for the Bears?
John actually had a punt for negative yardage, as I recall, in his high school career, right, John?
Only because John Thorson didn't get out of the way. He was too close, and I kicked it off his ass, and it bounced backwards.
That's more impressive than the upright.
Yeah.
It is.
I really felt bad for him.
Yeah.
The double doink.
The double doink.
No.
Extra points for that in the future?
No, but Dave, what do you think if they just made a contest out of it, lined a bunch of good kickers up and said, hit the post, how many times out of 100 would guys actually be able to do that? Maybe 20?
I don't think that high.
Out of 100? No.
Yeah. I don't think that high.
I mean, they're pretty good,
How about
generally.
Your buddy's rear end? How many
Thorson. John, thanks for hanging out.
Yeah,
Dave, thank you for hanging out. Back with more of this. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. Wendy, we can't just talk about sad things like the Bears losing. Let's talk about something happy like Chicago politics.
Something nice transition.
Guaranteed to bring a smile to everybody's face. Paul Lisnick joins us right now. Paul, of course, a political analyst over at WGN-TV and the host of Politics Tonight, which can be seen weeknights at 5:30 p.m. and at 10 p.m. right there on WGN-TV and CLTV. How are you, Paul?
Hey, good, guys. Oh, and my new first fiction book, which is out, called Assume Guilt, if I can mention that.
Yay!
Congratulations.
Yeah, everybody dies in it.
All right. Will you be discussing that on your podcast, Behind the Curtain?
Well, I will not be doing that on Behind the Curtain. I'll be doing other things. But
You're a man of many hats.
And you'll know half the names in there because, you know, I got Larry Potash. They all work there. I was told I should get permission for everybody before I use their names or they could sue me. And I went, eh.
Those people were going to sue you anyway.
They're going to sue me anyway.
Yeah.
So what's the big deal? It doesn't matter.
Paul, where should we start? I think Ed Burke is a good starting off point unless you tell me otherwise. What do you think?
Well, we have shutdowns and we have Ed Burke, but obviously Ed Burke being the big story here. And, you know, let me say this. I mean, I think I'm assuming people kind of are tracking this, you know, and kind of know basically what's going on. But let me tell you what people might not know. And that is on my Politics Tonight show on Friday night, I had Alderman Scott Wagaspak on from the 32nd Ward. Scott is part of the progressive group. And so he made news on the show. I've actually posted this interview on my Facebook page and Twitter. He made news in a variety of ways, saying, first of all, he would suspect that this is the tip of the iceberg, that it is not just Ed Burke, and there may be more Ed Burke stories to come, but he believes this could be typical, or at least not the only isolated incident involving potentially other aldermen, and that he thinks people should be concerned. Also, we know that Rahm Emanuel got Burke to step down from the Finance Committee chair. It looks like he's putting Patrick O'Connor in, which is, there's a big change for you. You know, one friend to another.
Yeah.
But the Progressive Caucus, it looks like, is going to put up Wagaspak against him. And that's going to be interesting because, you know, now if you're just the average City Hall alderman, do you just say, yes, it's time for change, and I'm going to make a point, so I think I'll vote for Rahm's other friend to do this? Rahm has an agenda to finish. Or will I actually make a difference and vote for the progressive? It'll be interesting to watch on the 23rd of January.
All right, so Alderman Ed Burke has been allegedly investigated before and has come through that with no issues. How is this any different?
Well, I think what's different here are the tapes. I mean, at least I'm not remembering. He's never been, you know, he's not indicted yet. I mean, it's a criminal complaint. But in the past, you know, certain things he's done have been questionable. I mean, when it involves deals, sometimes the kind of thing that I can recall happening would be something where he voted on something and he took the position of, you know, I just forgot. I mean, I wasn't aware of it. I should have recused myself. I didn't. And, you know, I shouldn't have done that kind of a thing. So it almost has looked a bit innocent. This is different. I mean, here, whatever it is he's accused of doing with regard to what looks like Burger King and some of the other places, you know, they got tapes. And apparently they've got lots more tapes than the little bit we've been exposed to. And that's where I think Wagaspak's comments, and I get it, you know, is this the only thing? The other thing I find interesting, the way the feds work, and I think you guys know my past life, I'm a jury consultant, I work with the feds, I train the Department of Justice. You know, it's not that Ed Burke isn't the big fish, because he certainly is a huge fish, but the question is, do you go after him with this? And when you sit down with him, the question is, what do you want from him? And I think the question is going to be, are they sitting there saying, look, we have more stuff on you, so we want you to plead, otherwise it's going to get even more ugly? Or are they using him to reach out to other people? We don't know yet, but that is partially the way the feds work. You go after certain people to get others.
Paul, are you getting the feeling that for most of us here in town, we go, oh, another potentially corrupt Chicago politician, what a shock. Are you getting that kind of a feeling from this?
I've talked to people, interviewed people who basically kind of said, yeah, it doesn't look real good. I hosted Beyond the Beltway over the weekend, and somebody said, yeah, it looks kind of messy, right? No, look, many people... People are not shocked. This is the way Chicago politics, at least it's the image that it
right,
has.
Right.
And I think, look, if you're going to make a change, you know, look, when Rahm Emanuel was first elected back in 2011, I can remember him saying, you know, Ed Burke, I'm taking away his security detail, all these things. He was going to make a difference. And none of that ever happened. So, you know, challenging the powers in Chicago is just not something people seem to have the guts to do, even when you're as gutsy as Rahm Emanuel. Now, of course, you know, that's it. His security detail is gone. You know, all these things, all these people who loved Ed Burke, now it's, you know, he's the coffee boy. Ed Burke, who? I never heard of the guy. You know, it took something like this to shake them in their boots. But if you're going to make a difference, and I would say if you're going to make a difference, I know Rahm has a tip proposal he wants to get through, a couple of them. He's got a pension thing. So he wants somebody like Patrick O'Connor in that chair position to control the purse strings. But if Rahm really wants to make a difference on his way out the door from the mayor's office, you know, why not appoint Rod Sawyer, for example, from the Finance Committee, 6th Ward Alderman? I mean, you can make a difference and say, you know what, it's time for a new day in Chicago, if you want to.
All right, so Alderman Ed Burke has stepped down from his position as chairman of the Finance Committee. However, he is still running for re-election. Is that ego or innocence?
So in his mind, you know, listen, I'm sure in his mind, he said before, I've been investigated before, I always cooperate, you know, and he's a lawyer. Let's not forget that. So, you know, some people, you know, they get caught by something and they just stop talking or they say things they shouldn't say. But, you know, Ed Burke is a smart guy. And so all the things he said, he's going to say everything that will be along the lines of somebody who is innocent. Why should he say, okay, I'm going to drop out? I mean, his view is let people decide. Now, he's got four challengers. He's probably certainly in the race of his life. But you know what? If the people in his ward love what he's produced for them for all these years, for the 50 years he's been around, you know, would it shock me in Chicago to wake up the day after the election and see that Ed Burke was reelected? It wouldn't shock me. I think that may not happen, but, you know, in Chicago, you go, hey, you know, it's the way thing goes. Those folks may be very happy with him, and they play it out.
Who was the Bunny Ranch guy who was reelected even though he was dead?
Dennis Haas.
So stranger things have happened.
Stranger things have happened.
Exactly. You know, listen, yeah. There's all sorts of... And the question, you know, people need to do their homework. Look, we just went through congressional elections where we had essentially a Nazi running in the 3rd District against Bill Lipinski, and he got, 40% of the vote, whatever it was? You know, I mean, so you have people now. Is that because people were voting for a Nazi? No. I think they... I mean, maybe some, but I think most of them just were not, you know, they just weren't doing their homework. You know, I'm going to vote for the Republican in that particular race. So it's a matter of how much homework people want to do and how prepared they want to be. And I say that because when you live in Madigan's district, you live in Burke's ward, you know, you, all you know is he brings home the bacon for us. And that's all I care about, they may say, which is why we'll just have to watch how it goes. But that's why it wouldn't be shocking. So, you know, why should he step down? He says he's not guilty, said he didn't do anything, says he'll be exonerated. Why should he step out of the race?
Paul, will this have any effect on the mayoral race?
Oh, I think that that needs to be watched. Look, you already have four candidates running for mayor, running for the hills, right?
Yeah.
You know, everybody who, you know, was very tied to Burke. One of the things Wagaspack said on my show on Friday night was he said, you know, as he decides who to support in the mayoral race, he's looking to see who it is that would have appointed or reappointed Burke as chair of the finance committee, because, and Wagaspack sits on that, because that those are the purse strings, right? That's probably the most powerful position at city council. That's why it's so critical. And essentially, Tony Preckwinkle, who obviously a strong contender, had told the Wagaspack, and I say this with his knowledge, that she would have appointed him. That was a couple of months ago. In fairness, about a month ago, she started to question that and said, oh, maybe not so. And now, of course, she said, absolutely not. So you're seeing this distancing that has been happening. To Preckwinkle's credit, she made those comments about not appointing him prior to any of this breaking up. But, you know, Susana Mendoza, you know, everybody's attacking everybody, but Susana was married in Burke's home. You know, Bill Daly, who is pointing, he was part of the deal that got Burke to the finance committee chairmanship. So you don't be surprised when you see the Paul Vallises and the Gary Chicos and some others who come out and say, hey, I didn't do anything with the guy. But, you know, it's hard to live in the world of Chicago City politics and not have had some kind of tie to Ed Burke. So, yes, I think it plays out, but we'll see how. And, by the way, to those other candidates' credit, it's not that they did anything wrong. You know, it's just that there is a tie to him.
Sure.
So they have to see in what way that plays out in public opinion.
Yep. Our guest is Paul Liznick, political analyst for WGN-TV. We'll talk about the latest on the government shutdown next. It's Bill Leff and Wendy Snyder on WGN.
We are talking with Paul Liznick, political analyst for WGN-TV, a man of many hats, also has written a book. What's that book called?
It's called Assume Guilt. It's fiction. It's about Illinois political corruption. It's fiction.
Looking forward to that.
Yeah. That's great.
Got to say fiction, otherwise Illinois political corruption. It's factual.
Fiction. When will this government shutdown end, Paul? When do you think?
Well, I'll give you a date to watch. Nobody can predict that because it's so volatile, but I will give you a day to watch, and that's January 11th. That's the next day, actually even before that, but January 11th is the next payday. And so they actually have until, I think it is tomorrow night, to cut the checks, to get that process going for payments. So that's the pressure. So you have 800,000 people around the country, and you know they're all over the country. This is not as though it's just in Washington, D.C. or something like this. And of course, a lot of the news networks now are doing stories about the fact that people can't buy groceries, people can't, you know, pay their bills.
Can't get medical visits. I mean, their health insurance is stalled as well.
Well, exactly. And you know, imagine if you have premiums to pay, those kind of things. So I think if they miss this next check, then it's another couple of weeks before they would get a paycheck. I just think you're going to see some kind of effort. The question is, where is the fix? And, you know, the president has made it clear, unless he gets something that he, if not now, can one day call a wall so that he claims victory, this doesn't go away. And, of course, Democrats, if they give him any money for the wall, that they lose. So I think ultimately, there has to be some kind of spending for border security where they all seem to agree at something that is called a fence or something other than a wall. And then in a period of time, the president will still just start calling it the wall. And that'll be his victory lap. But right now, it's obviously very tough on Americans. I will tell you, the toughest part for Republicans is the fact that the Democratic House passing bills, which basically allow the opening of every other branch of government except Department of Homeland Security, basically saying, look, why is everybody else suffering? Let's open them up. I think that's something that will play well with the public, and Republicans have some explaining to do if they're not going to at least, you know, open up these other branches that are not a part of this game. The Republican answer is the president won't sign it. The president's answer is I've got to keep leverage.
All right. I love my job. I'm sure you two do as well. Yet think about this. If you weren't getting paid, would you still come to work?
Right.
I know there's been a lot of people at TSA taking time off, calling in sick, or I kind of don't blame them.
Yeah.
Well, and what you pointed to is exactly the example I would have given, you know. And so now the question is, are we getting compromised when we go to the airport and security? Is it less? Are more people covering more shifts? Are the lines just longer? I don't know. I haven't flown out in the last period of days. But you're exactly right. You have people saying, look, that I'm not showing up. And, of course, if they're entitled to sick days, then one day when they get their paychecks, I suppose they'll get that payment, right? So that's what I mean by this thing is taking hold. And I think it gets worse as this week goes on, and especially when those checks are not there. You know, one of the things the government has done, they sent a letter to a government employee saying, here, show this to your bill collector so they understand what's going on and they hopefully will work with you and give you more time. The president said that, all the people who work with them. But I saw one interview of a person who said, how do I take that letter into the gas station when I'm trying to buy gas? Right. How do I take it into the grocery store, you know, where people want money for the services I'm buying? That's what makes this very tough.
I know that there have been government shutdowns in the past, Paul, or partial government shutdowns, but has there ever been such a clear-cut example of a president saying, do things my way, or that's the way it's going to be?
And it could be this way for a year. He was saying this could be a long time.
Yeah,
he has said that. I wouldn't put too much credence in that. I don't think this goes on the months or the years that the president talked about. I think, again, all that's leverage.
Yeah.
But we are hitting, I think we're hitting the level of you know, having a shutdown that's, you know, pretty much the longest that we've seen in modern times. Look, shutdowns happen because of oftentimes sort of principal positions where you know, folks will disagree and then they compromise their way to an answer. The problem here is that you have all sides dug in and not willing to compromise, and people suffer. That's why I think the compromise is, look, let's open what we can open, and let's just keep this dialogue going for another month. That's what the Democrats are trying to do, and try and come up with something that works. I mean, there will be a fix. We're not closed for the rest of time, I don't think. But you know, until somebody moves, and right now you have people in a position where, look, Nancy Pelosi has been clear. $1 is all she's willing to put in. The president's been clear. $5.6 billion. Even when Mike Pence apparently went to the Democrats and said, look, how about $2.5 billion? And the president dismissed that as time went on. He goes, yeah, I hear they're throwing $2.5 million around. Well, yeah, your vice president threw that one around.
Right.
And he just denied it. So, you know, it's at an impasse, but like I said, the pressure will build.
Paul, when there's a partial government shutdown, who makes the decision as to what departments are still open and which ones are closed?
Yeah, the question is sort of like what's deemed essential, and it's essentially the government making those decisions as to what's deemed essential. I mean, for example, the Department of Justice, not deemed essential, yet Mueller's investigation is deemed as something that continues. So some of the things are sort of questionable. I think people may or may not realize, because this frustrates people, that part of the shutdown and not taking votes they needed to take, it put a pay raise into place for the cabinet members. So while the government workers are suffering because they could not take, at that time, votes to resolve things, there was an automatic freeze that then went out of effect, and so cabinet members were all given $10,000, $15,000 raises, including the vice president. And I think the vice president has said he's not going to take his raise, but imagine the optics of that. You know, everybody's suffering, but the cabinet members, thank you, there's more money on my paycheck, that's good. That's problematic as well.
Yeah.
And, you know, again, TSA, yes, it's essential, but what happens when the essential employees say, you know what, I'm not coming to work?
And there's been some problems with the national parks. There have been three deaths. I don't know if you can necessarily attribute it to the government shutdown.
Well, no, you can't. You can. I mean, the parks, because that's not deemed essential. So parks are either being closed, and or you don't have the people to staff them. So you're hearing about the garbage that's overflowing in the garbage cans.
16,000 of 19,000 National Park Service employees are furloughed. 16,000 out of 19.
Wow.
It doesn't leave a lot of people to clean up the mess, and the mess continues.
You've seen the pictures, right, Paul? The pictures are outrageous.
Yeah, but this is where, and again, depending on what station you're watching, who your avenue is, you know, I watch all the channels, especially at night. I keep an eye on all the news channels and MSNBC and Fox and CNN, and I try to watch everything to see what they're all talking about. And the reality is, I encourage your listeners to do the same thing. I know if you're liberal, you want to hang in there with MSNBC. You're conservative, you want to hang in there with Fox. But, you know, you're not doing yourself a favor to not educate yourself on all sides of the coin. Because, I mean, for example, one day last week on CNN and MSNBC, they were talking about the shutdown and things, and then I shifted over to Fox, and on Fox they were talking about about an illegal immigrant and a crime performed by them. Not that that's not worth talking about or shouldn't be addressed, but it does raise questions as to, if all I'm watching is that, I'm not hearing some of these same stories and positions as I am on the other one. And by the way, if I'm watching the other networks, well, I'm missing the illegal immigrant story. I think you need to expose yourself to as much as you can so you get a fuller view of what the dialogue in this country is all about.
And Paul, which network was referring to the shutdown as a strike? One of them was calling it a strike, and it's not a strike,
well,
it's a shutdown.
It was the president. It was the president who didn't want to, he didn't want to use the word, the phrase shutdown. Now, whether it was him that said strike, he had another phrase for it. I'm just drawing a blank on that right now. I know what you're talking about, Bill, but
yeah.
But yes, what you're seeing now is let's call it something else. And the president said, I don't call it a shutdown. I call it a, standing for position, standing for principle or something like that. Well, you can play with the semantics. Look, a lot of people say wall versus fence is semantics. Wall versus border security, it's all semantics. But when you're the person who isn't getting the paycheck, who can't feed their kids, I don't think you care what it's being called. You only care that you need to get this thing resolved.
So true.
Why do we need money for the wall? Isn't Mexico paying for it? What happened with that?
In hosting a radio show the other night, I had a Trump supporter on. I asked that question because I said, okay, you're a Trump supporter. You believe in everything he says. So let me ask you, why are you accepting the Mexico will pay for it, the fact that they're not? But what the answer is, it goes in a couple places. The answer from this particular guest they are. It's all about, and it's been the president's comments about how all the money we're making from our new trade deal, the residuals will pay for it.
Right.
Again, you could, if you're a Trump supporter, that's your position on it. You accept that. You believe that. If you're not a Trump supporter, you see it as he violated a promise he made to the American people. Mexico is supposed to write a check. We're not getting the check. So, and this is why the politics is so divisive in this country. Until Trump supporters eventually say, he's not being honest in keeping that promise that he made to us, or until more liberals or people who are Trump detractors say, it doesn't really matter. What's important is we need the security of the wall. I mean, until somebody sort of crosses the line to the other side, this continues. And my prediction is this just continues. This divisiveness is not going away anytime soon.
Paul, thank you so much. We got to run. We really appreciate talking to you. You can find
him. Happy New Year to both you guys.
Thank you, Paul.
You as well.
Congrats on the book, Assume Guilt.
Thanks so much.
Available now.
Yeah.
All right. Coming up,
Paul Lisnick. Well, Wendy, coming up, the stories that matter with Steve Bertrand from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. It's right here on WGN Radio. Thanks, Steve. Wendy's not going to say it, so I'll say it. It's nice to have you back.
Well, thank you, Bill.
We were fighting off the air as to which one of us would say it. I lost.
A long time since the three of us were together.
I missed you. I don't care what Bill says.
I missed you more.
I missed you guys, too.
I wish Bill would take a day off.
I cried myself to sleep almost every night. Yes, I did.
Had a very nice weekend in San Diego and was L.A. to visit Emma. But I was just stir-crazy between the holidays.
Were you really?
Oh.
Yeah?
Absolutely.
I wonder why.
I worked on New Year's Day. I could not wait to come to work on New Year's Day.
Wow. How about that?
It's just that weird cusp between Christmas and New Year's, which we typically take off. But I think next year I'm going somewhere warm.
Yeah.
Because it's like that build up to your wedding. And then afterwards, after you count all the money, you're like, that's it. It's over.
Right. So you're going to take a honeymoon next year after Christmas.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
That would be nice.
I like that idea a lot. This one started pretty much on the 21st because of the way Christmas fell.
Yeah.
So it was just a long time.
That is a long time. You could have come in. Why didn't you come in for a day or two?
I came in on New Year's.
Oh, you did?
I came in on the 31st, but they sent me home because it wasn't scheduled.
Oh.
You just came in?
I didn't.
Is weird.
No.
I spent this weekend watching the other NFL games, not just the Disappointment Bowl, but the other games.
Stop it.
It was disappointing. So my goal was to kind of scout out the other teams to know what we could possibly face when we go further in the playoffs.
Coach left watching the tapes.
You know who I am, Wendy? I'm the Bears outsider. You know how Adam Hogue is the Bears insider? I'm the Bears outsider.
I like it.
So I'm watching the other games, and I would like to share a name or two with you that I hope you will find as intrinsic and amusing as I do. Steve, if you know this, feel free to barge in. I would love to get some input. Do you know who the Baltimore Ravens defensive coordinator is?
No. Is it a Bart Simpsonism that he calls Moe's Bar for?
No.
All right.
His name is Wink Martindale.
It is not.
Yes, it is.
No, it isn't.
I swear to you, it's Wink
Martindale. Is it
Martindale.
His son?
No, I looked it up. It's just another guy. I don't know how this is possible.
I don't either.
Two guys in the universe named Wink Martindale. But the Bears defensive, the Ravens defensive coach is Wink Martindale. I'm sure Wink is not his given name. I'm sure he has another formal name and just got the nickname Wink. But, yeah.
All right, now, that's crazy.
Here's a better one. Do you know who called the game? So usually you got a two-man booth or a three-man booth, and they went with a three-man booth the other day when it was the Colts and the Texans. And one of the guys calling the game was Booger McFarland.
That sounds like a character from Smokey and the Bandit, doesn't it?
Yes. Yes, it does. Yes, it does. Booger McFarland. And I don't know why they don't do a segment called Booger's Picks. I think that would be kind of cool. He would tell you, you know, picks to watch during the game. I don't know why they don't have that sponsored by Nasonex or something. That would make sense. But imagine going through life. Now, this is a guy, because I looked him up. I had heard the name once before, but I thought somebody made it up. I don't know, his name is Booger McFarland. So he played ball for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and then coached at the college level or something, high school or college level, and now he's an analyst.
Again, not his given name.
No. Oh, no. No.
What parent would do that to someone?
And Wink is Don, by the way.
Is Wink Martindale's first name Don?
Yes, Don.
Yeah.
Wink,
but that's a real
Martindale.
Name. Wink Martindale, named for the one of the, I think, one of the best game show hosts in history.
You certainly are the Bears outsider.
Yeah, the Bears outsider.
We appreciate that. Can we talk to the Bears insider?
Yeah.
All right, we'll take a quick break. And Adam Hogue, Chicago Bears insider for WGN Radio and TV. We'll talk to him about this. I just feel bad now. I was very angry last night. Then I felt really sorry for Cody Parkey.
It's like the five levels of acceptance.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anger, sadness, everything's there.
I haven't had acceptance
yet. Not yet.
A
couple
guess.
Of weeks. All right, we'll talk to Adam Hogue next. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN.
No Bears music? What? Is everybody finished with
We're trying to move on.
No, I'm not moving on. This is a step in the right direction, albeit a depressing, hideous, terrible
Keep
step.
Going.
Chicago Bears insider for WGN Radio and WGN TV, Adam Hogue is with us. Adam,
did you see the game, Adam?
No, what happened?
Oh, you're not going to like this.
Wait, they're not playing this weekend?
No. Well, I don't think
they are. Not on the field.
No. Nope.
I went from being so mad at Cody Parkey to really worrying about his mental health after the game.
Yeah. I mean, I feel awful. You know, these are the tricky situations in sports. You know, it's still sports, and you know, compared to everything else we talk about on WGN Radio every single day, this is what I like to call the toy box of life, right? That at least I'm working in here. But these are real people, real humans that have families, and it's just awful when you have something end like this. But at the same time, it is somebody who's getting paid a lot of money. And
that's his job to kick
and
through the goalposts, not hit them.
And we're not talking about a 55-yarder or anything like that either. So it did get deflected. I think that did prevent the kick for coming back from left to right because he was trying to play the win. But at the same time, you know, 42-yarder, he probably would tell you he should get a little bit more lift on the football so that it doesn't have a chance to be blocked. And quite frankly, other than like, you know, he had that bad stretch where he hit four goalposts against the Lions. And then he came back and he bounced back strong from that. And I don't know if you guys, I'm not a kicking expert, but he went through a good stretch there where you could tell, hitting the ball confidently. Like he was drilling the field goals there for a couple weeks. And then it went back to sort of this iffiness, and he missed a couple here and there. He had the missed extra point against the Vikings last week. And it's just like the kicks did not look confident coming off his foot. I would even say the first kick last night, I'm talking about when they iced him right before the miss.
Yeah.
Even that one didn't look that great to me. It went through.
I was surprised it went through.
Yeah, it didn't look like he kicked it all that strongly.
But Adam, do you remember on Friday when we talked to you, I even said sometimes when something happens, you get a little bit snake bit. There's a small part of your brain going, boy, I've had a bunch of times where I've hit the uprights, the goalpost, and that's what happened kind of.
I've never seen this before. He had six uprights and one crossbar in one season, and not once did the ball bounce the other direction.
Right.
And to think about, I definitely am not a physics expert, but to hit the upright and to have it bounce down just perfectly in a way where then it hits the crossbar
yeah.
and still doesn't get the right bounce.
Defy the laws of physics.
It's unbelievable.
He should be a chemist or a physicist right. or something.
Maybe right. the next career, yeah.
Right.
Speaking of his next career, I mean, come on. He's finished with the Bears, isn't he?
You think, Adam?
Yeah. I do, and the there's only really two reasons why you'd keep him. One is money. I mean, it's a $5.2 million cap hit. Just shy of that, which is a lot for a kicker when you consider, like, if you're going to go out and pay Robbie Gould, you're going to owe him, like, $2 to $3 million. So now you're talking about $8 million next year on the kicking position. It's kind of unheard of.
Could have won the game.
Right. Well, I would say you should still do that. Now, the other reason is just if they truly believe that there can be a redemption story next year, I just don't see it, guys, and I just think that that's way too risky. It's all right here in front of you. I mean, you had a team that was really, really good, and the season ended because of the kicking position. I don't know how you can go into next year sitting on your hands and going into it with the same guy.
What if he opened up a coat company called Cody's Parkas that... that
he'd never hang anything up on the rod. Yeah. Everything would fall
they
down.
They would hit the rod, and then they would
down.
Bounce the yeah. wrong way. Don't you think that's a good option for him?
Maybe.
I feel so sorry for him, but you know what? He's paid to do a job. He's not doing his job.
Yep.
And that's the thing. I mean, we can point to the fact that it looked like the kick was deflected. You can make some excuse here or there for last night, and he did make three in the game. However,
yeah.
He missed 11 kicks on the season.
That's a lot.
It wasn't a good season. It's
yeah.
not just about last night. And we all went into this game saying it is a very realistic possibility that the game could come down to Cody Parkey.
Yep.
And no one could feel confident about that. You wanted to avoid that situation. And they weren't able to do that. And that's why there's many other reasons that we can point to today why they lost the game. But it did come down to a makeable field goal. And the guy who's paid to make it didn't.
And Robbie Gould is there. He's
I
at
know.
The game.
I know, it's crazy.
Watching it.
Do we have a backup kicker?
No. I mean,
so like if Cody Parkey wasn't there for some reason, if he got the stomach flu before the game, who would have kicked?
Probably Pat O'Donnell, who's handled some kickoffs in the past.
The punter.
Right.
All right.
Yeah. You saw the other night. I don't know if you're watching Saturday night, but Seattle's kicker Sebastian Janikowski got hurt in the
right.
middle of the game, and they had their punter is able to drop kick. But he's not able to actually...
Not your standard kick.
All right.
Exactly. And so they didn't have a kicker the rest of the game.
So why didn't Matt Nagy... Why didn't he pull someone? I feel that it's Matt's fault for...
Oh. Is that true,
Adam?
Well,
it's not like yesterday. This
has been a problem for a while.
What you're talking about is in the middle of the year they should have found a different
yep.
kicker is what you're saying.
Yep.
And that's a...
He put him in a position that he wasn't able to deliver in.
The problem was you guaranteed this guy $9 million. You gave him a ton of money in the offseason. It's the first of four
years.
He's
got a good agent.
He still...
Yes, he does.
What I don't understand still, and I thought this was fishy when they signed him back in March, he's now been on five different teams in 5 years.
Oh.
And I don't break down kickers like I do every other position in the NFL. But
right. That's like a girl who dates a lot.
It seemed
wink,
weird
wink,
to
wink.
Me. To get, for a guy that's been on that many
teams. I didn't hit the poll.
Teams.
I was a good girl.
To get that much money,
right,
I don't know.
Right, right. All right.
I feel bad for him still, but he cannot be a Bear anymore.
I think that's completely fair to have those feelings.
This aside, all right, let's look at the Bears for next season, Adam. Give me a change or two that we're going to see. What's going to be different about next year's version of the Bears as opposed to this year's version of the Bears?
Well, the focus, I think, in the... Well, first and foremost, the status of Vic Fangio here. I mean, you want to talk about a big change.
He'll be the head coach of either Denver or probably Miami or maybe.
Well, it actually looks like there was a report this morning that Miami pulled their interview back.
Oh.
That's not even going to happen. And I don't know that Fangio is actually the front runner in Denver right now. So my guess right now, and things are still fluid,
yeah.
is that he will be back with the Bears.
Oh, great.
That's
nice.
But if he's not, you want to talk about change? There's a huge change right there. I mean, if they have to go out and get a new defensive coordinator, because there's no question Vic Fangio's helped build this defense
yeah.
the last 4 years.
Yeah.
Now, on the offensive side of the ball, though, I mean, I think you still got to look at upgrades across the board here and there. Now they don't have a first round pick. They don't have a second round pick, which is a huge factor. And they're not going to have as much freedom just spending cash like they have now that they've signed Khalil Mack to a huge deal, and they got to start thinking about extending Mitch Trubisky down the road. That's not going to happen this offseason, but it's got to be planned out in advance. So,
do you think they'll sign Bryce Harper or Manny Machado?
There was a rumor going around that Machado was there last night. I can't confirm that. I just, you know, I'm not even, but that maybe he was, maybe he's the next Bears kicker.
Wouldn't that be crazy? As you were watching it happen, it's funny because the play itself only took a couple of seconds, but it seemed like an eternity. Yeah. What was going on in your mind as you saw the kick go up and then hit the posts? What were you thinking?
You know, it reminded me, I happened to be at Game 7 of the 2003 NLCS when the Cubs lost to the Marlins. Yeah. And just that scene, I sat there for a few moments after the teams were shaking hands. It was just, you know, most times games end and everybody's in a rush to get to their cars and beat traffic.
Yeah.
And it was different. People were just kind of sitting there wondering what just happened. How did this great season just end like that? And that's the feeling I got just sort of looking over at Soldier Field and taking it in.
Good comparison.
Matt Nagy's face when that ball missed was just
what just happened?
Like, how in the world did this happen again?
Yeah,
that's what I call instant meme face.
Yeah, yes. Totally. I noticed, and maybe this has been going on for a while, but those crazy air raid sirens were making me so nervous. Is that a new thing?
There was one point, it may have even been at halftime, where I thought it got stuck.
It just kept going.
I'm like, are they going to ever stop the siren?
Are fans allowed to bring whistles to the park? Because I thought every time somebody on their team was running with the ball, I would just blow the whistle and make them think the play was over.
See, that's exactly why whistles are not allowed.
Oh, all right.
I bet you could sneak one in.
I'm going to sneak in a whistle next time.
Or get the, remember Toot Sweet? It was made out of Tootsie
candy?
Rolls?
Yeah.
You could do that.
All right. Done.
I'm counting on you for
next year. Consider it done.
Well, Adam, the good news is, all right, I correct me if I'm wrong, but the 85 Bears, the prior season to the Super Bowl win, was it great?
They made the NFC Championship game, but they lost 23-0 to the San Francisco 49ers. So I've heard that comparison a lot this year. I haven't always agreed with it, but, you know, we're on the right track. Certainly on the right track. Certainly should be a talented football team next year. We'll see what kind of changes are made, if they have to, you know, replace some coaches here or there. But the one thing I keep going back to is now you have to play a first-place schedule. The way the NFL does their scheduling is now you have to play the first-place teams from the other two divisions that you want to
play. It's going to be a tough year next year.
And if you just look at the schedule, I mean, it's a lot of these playoff teams. The Chiefs, the Rams, the Chargers are on there. You got the Cowboys. You're going to play the Giants again. The Giants should be better. I mean, top to bottom, it's plus everyone in your division still. So it's going to be a much tougher road to get to the same spot. And I think you can look at what the Chiefs and Rams have done this year. They were both wild card teams last year that hosted wild card games that lost, just like the Bears just did. Well, this year they took it to a new level, and they got those first-round byes. And if you look at the Super Bowl, 9 out of the last 10 teams to make the Super Bowl were actually one seeds.
Hmm.
So it matters getting that first-round bye. It matters what you do in the regular season, but it's going to be a really tough road for the Bears to go 12-4 again. And as we saw this year, 12-4 didn't even get them a first-round bye.
I'm still a fan.
Well, you should be.
Fangio.
There's a lot to be excited about.
Well, best of luck to all of us. I hope Cody Parkey's okay, because I really feel bad, but I'll help you pack your bag.
Wow. What a nice invitation.
Well, they're going to be opening up the locker room here to us around noon, and I'm interested to see if he's in there and what the mood is like in there and what guys are saying.
Give him a hug, Adam. Give him a hug for us.
I don't think that's professional, but
it's not.
He needs it.
Yeah. He needs it today more than ever.
He does.
Thanks, Adam.
Thanks,
appreciate
Adam.
It.
All right, thanks, guys.
It's Adam Hoag. He's the Bears insider.
And you?
I'm the Bears outsider, way outsider.
What's Bill left? It's Wendy Snyder.
Can I ask a quick favor of you, Wendy? Can you please let up on Cody Parkey just a little bit? It's very upsetting.
I am getting goalpost handed to me. I mean, everyone's...
Yes, you are.
Wendy, could you lighten up?
I agree.
You're being so mean.
You are. You're being very mean to Cody Parkey.
Listen,
He wanted it to go through.
I know. I really feel bad for him.
Yeah.
But we cannot keep him on the team.
Right. He has to be banished to Siberia.
I didn't say that.
I thought you said that. He has to be on the next Southwest flight to Siberia. You didn't say that? I thought you said
no.
that.
No. Finally, 630 backing me up. His job is to kick, nothing else.
That's it.
That is the bottom line.
When you have one job, you'd hope that you'd be more successful at that job than he's been this season.
This is the one that hurts, Bill. Wendy, shame on you. I hate when people say
shame
that.
Shame on you.
Do you make mistakes? That's
something moms say.
Yep.
Yep. Is this from your mom? Was this your mom's last
from
text?
From heaven? Does yes. she have
There's texting
access?
In heaven now. They got the heaven texting.
There's a goofy app going around on Facebook where your loved one up in heaven, if they could send you a text. This is from my mom. Wendy, shame on you. Do you make mistakes? This is what is wrong with this country. Everyone wants to place blame. It's a game. Yes, it's his job, but get over it already.
I agree.
That's what everyone is talking about today. And I'm over it.
I do. We both feel bad. You got to feel bad for him.
I'm heartbroken.
Think about that moment where he laid down to go to sleep last night and the sleep just didn't come because he's like, what if I just had.
I know.
If I had only, if all I. All I ugh,
and know? When he kicked it through the uprights the first time before that terrible brain meld timeout was called.
The icing of the kicker. A time-honored tradition in the NFL.
It's a good
call. We got to give the kicker something a little extra to think about. We'll mess with his head a little bit. It worked.
So half of me is thinking, okay, Cody, come on. You've got this. You've proved to yourself you're, you know, 4-for-4 right now. Come on.
Yeah.
One more. What's one more?
Right.
And then my son Michael was watching with me, and he's like, Mom, he just, like, gave everything he could to that kick.
Right.
And just, you know, like, he's done.
One more.
He can't.
Just one more. Just like in The Deer Hunter. Come on, just one more.
It
Christopher Walken.
It breaks my heart.
Yep.
Barbara has called us.
Hmm.
Hi, Barbara.
That's when I know it's serious, when Barbara calls. Now I know we've got something. What's up, Barbara?
Every job I've had, there were either a semi-yearly or yearly performance evaluations. And that's essentially what needs to be done.
Ah.
Because he was hired to do a job, and it's up to his supervisor to do some kind of a performance evaluation and put him on a remediation plan, and if it doesn't work out, you lose your job.
Right. I get it.
I mean, that's what it's like in the business world.
In every occupation,
everything.
Wendy, name any job. Just name a job.
A bagger at Mariano's.
All right, so if you're a bagger at Mariano's and they call you in and they go, here's what we noticed, Wendy. Every time you put the groceries in the bag, you miss the bag. You put the milk, but it falls to the side. We can't let you be a bagger here at Mariano's anymore because your success rate of putting groceries in the bag is not good.
Yeah, you're right.
You put the tomatoes at the bottom and the gallon of milk on top.
Yep, you're out. You're out. Yeah. That's it. Barbara?
That's all. And yes, you can feel sorry for him because I know that he feels awful, but he needs a performance review and he needs to be put on some kind of a remediation program and
yep.
the season is over, so what are you going to do?
That's it.
And quite honestly, I mean, it's gotten in his head, his Bill. Isn't it called something like you get a bad mojo or it's called the, it's called something. There's a term when you're mentally not able to do your job and you get, I can't think of what it is, but perhaps
deja
being.
Deja vu all over again.
It's what?
Deja vu all over again.
But perhaps being with a fresh team will help him out.
It's his fifth team in 5 years.
That's bad.
Yeah.
That's bad.
All right, Barbara, you make me feel better. I'm not being mean.
No, you're just you know, this
I'm telling it like it is.
Yep.
Thank you, Barbara.
Enjoy your day.
Thank you,
you
too.
As well.
So another team will sign him, and then in the playoffs next year, the Bears will play that team, and he'll come in and kick a ball right down the middle to crush us.
That's okay.
Crazy fate. That's why I can't stand fate.
Jack finds that amusing.
Hi, Jack.
Oh, you guys are crazy. You know, when he hit that goalpost, not once, but twice in one kick, the first thing that came in my mind was Ace Ventura. Laces out.
Right.
Miami Dolphin kicker. He was basically exiled and he had his sex changed. And that's the first thing that came to my mind. I'm like,
laces out.
I'm with you. You know, he's got to go, but, you know, understand his position that, oh, geez, I actually feel sorry for the guy. I really do, too.
Yeah.
But, I mean.
Yeah, and Bill, you made a comment, and I'm thinking the same thing. They're going to get rid of him, the Bears, he'll go to the Super Bowl and not miss one kick
He'll be flawless with another team.
Yeah, and then you know what? If the Bears keep him, then guess what? He'll probably hit more goalposts than, you know. But then again, I blame that guy that was sitting in the stands because I noticed that that bullseye, the target, you know.
It was a little off center.
It was. So he was aiming for it. Look what happened.
Right.
Jack, have a good one. Thanks, we appreciate you calling.
Bye.
And Jimbo, 708, thank you for texting because Mr. Sports Fan should know this. It's called the Yips.
Oh, the Yips.
That's what I'm talking about.
It's like this weird kind of nervous,
but it gets
all comes
in your
down
head.
To this. Yeah. Yep.
So he had the Yips.
He did a major case. A horrible,
it's
horrible
a crazy
case.
Word.
All right, we'll come back and we've got more coming your way next.
It's Wendy. It's 720 WGN. Did you watch the Golden Globes last night?
I did watch the Golden Globes last night.
I did as well.
What did you think?
I love Andy Samberg.
Yeah.
I thought they weren't really that good.
Oh, you weren't happy with them?
I wasn't unhappy.
It was Andy Samberg and Sandra Oh.
Right. Andy and Sandy.
Yeah. Andy and Sandy.
Which they should have gone with. I have never watched an awards show ever in my life where everyone was so ill-prepared, loosey-goosey. It seemed like no one really cared if they messed up the teleprompter.
Yeah.
It just seemed very... I'm not saying it was bad, but I'm saying it was just... it really was not... It looked like they had no rehearsal, no nothing. It just looked really willy-nilly.
Are you talking about the hosts, the presenters, or the winners? Or
everybody
seemed ill-prepared.
People were reading... Was it Allison Janney who was like, wait, I didn't get to that part.
Yeah.
Rewind the teleprompter. I mean, it just seemed like this was the dress rehearsal.
Oh, maybe. Yeah. Yeah. There was an element of that. You have to remember, this is the one where there is a lot of drinking. At the other award shows, there's little drinking, but at this one, they really do ply them with alcohol, so that makes the whole evening a little looser than most shows.
A lot of bleeping.
There were a couple
beloved
of incidents.
Steve Carell bleeped a little.
Once or twice. Now, that moment between as he introduced Carol Burnett, who won a sort of a Lifetime Achievement Award, I thought that was a highlight. She was magnificent. There were two people, and rightfully so in both cases, that even in a room full of jaded Hollywood types, they just couldn't help but just erupt with love, was Carol Burnett and Dick Van Dyke, and so deserved in both of those cases.
Yep.
You know, the sad truth is, those are two people that are just giants in show business, and we won't have them forever.
I know.
And I think that realization is hitting everybody. You got to enjoy them while we can.
Although, how old's Carol Burnett? We should look.
She's in her 80s.
She looks so good.
Yeah. And Dick Van Dyke's in his 90s.
And he looks pretty good for in his 90s.
Yes, he does.
Come on.
Yeah.
And I was it last year at one of the awards where Catherine Zeta-Jones brought out Kirk Douglas,
mm-hmm.
not Michael Douglas bringing out his dad. A weird moment.
Kirk Douglas.
And Kirk is, as Michael mentioned last night, 102 years old.
Yeah.
He didn't look very good last year when he was wheeled out. Do you remember?
Yeah.
So he's still around. There still are some legendary people.
Right.
That boy, you're right, we're not going to have very long.
So I think whenever they get a chance to pay tribute to them, they take advantage of it. Standing ovations for both Carol Burnett and for Dick Van Dyke.
With
Dick
good
Van Dyke
reason.
Was only a presenter. He was not given any kind of a tribute or an honor, but just to have him there, I think, was a good thing for everybody.
And he just seemed so fun.
He's
and
one of the best. You can't get better than Dick Van Dyke. He's just amazing.
Is Jeff Bridges still talking?
Jeff Bridges' speech is almost over, Wendy. Jeff Bridges is like the most free-spirited guy on
the
planet.
I love him for that.
You know, he always just seems amazed at the fact that there's people walking around on the planet, and he shares that with people. And even Chris Pine, who introduced him, was standing behind him, just kind of going, wow, there's no telling what's coming out of Jeff's mouth, you know? And that's one of the good things about him. Now, in the past, I've always said that at any award show, anytime the camera goes to Liev Schreiber, you're going to see a scowl on his face. That's a given. Liev Schreiber doesn't want to be at award shows, and it's no secret anytime they show him. Well, now Alan Arkin has kind of taken that away from him.
I counted five different times that they showed Alan Arkin that you could just see the pained look on his face, like, I would rather be anywhere than here. Even when he was being announced as a potential winner for supporting actor. I love Alan Arkin. He's so good, but he just does not seem to want to play.
He didn't, and I'm sorry, perhaps it's just me, and the only reason I'm commenting on this, believe me, I'm not so shallow, but Andy Samberg was talking about the rugged good looks of Chris Pine. He doesn't do anything for me, and he sounds exactly like Dave Koechner. His voice is almost exactly like Dave Koechner. Not that that's a good or bad thing. I'm just making an observation.
Yeah.
But Chris Pine to me is, I mean, he has beautiful eyes. But no, I think you're way better looking.
I'm way better looking
than
Chris Pine.
I'm not even kidding.
thank you. Thank you. That's very nice of you.
Is it?
I don't know. There's some hidden agenda
either
in this compliment that I don't fully understand.
And a lot of, it's not cleavage, it's breastbone.
There was a lot of that showing last night.
I'm okay with that, except for Patricia Arquette.
I think last year,
her breastbone hasn't been seen in years.
They actually searched for it in the auditorium yesterday. We know it's here somewhere. You could win a Plymouth. They were giving away a Plymouth if you could find it. Last year, everybody was being very, very careful and more conservative in their dress.
Yeah.
And then a year later, that kind of just faded away somehow, magically. Everybody went, I guess it's okay now to just wear a top that could come open at any moment. Because you saw a lot of that yesterday. Was there tape? Was there some
boob tape?
Is that a real product?
Yes.
Oh, I didn't know there was a
product. It's like two-sided tape that you put on the garment and it sticks to you.
From 3M? Does 3M make this? I didn't know they had such a thing.
I think it's 3D.
That would make more sense.
But yeah, I like that. I mean, that's how a flat-chested woman, it looked
Carrie
really
Russell
cool.
Always wears stuff that you go, boy, if it's windy out, she's in trouble. But now I find out it's tape. It's 3M tape. Interesting.
But a lot of that, and
maybe that's why Alan Arkin was so upset. I don't know why he was so upset, but that
he was really cranky looking.
Very cranky. And he's such a talented man. Just every now and then, just pretend you're an actor. Act like you're happy to be there.
I'm trying to think of memorable moments as well from the show. I love Jeff Bridges talking about his dad.
Yeah, that was great. Yeah, for people who don't know, his dad is Lloyd Bridges, best known probably for Sea Hunt or for Airplane.
And I didn't realize a young Jeff Bridges was on an episode of Sea Hunt.
Yeah, when he was really young. Really young. He looked like he was 10 or something. But he was there. His brother, Beau Bridges, was sitting next to him most of the evening. Beau Bridges is now on Homeland. He plays the vice president on Homeland.
I like the Bridges family.
Yeah, me too.
Was it a sister sitting next to Beau then?
Yeah.
Boy, she doesn't get
it. Todd Bridges was not there, sadly. There's been some fight between he and Jeff. What can you do, Wendy?
What are you talking about?
That's right.
All right. Well, you know what? We are going to continue our talk because we didn't have a lot of time to discuss the Golden Globes. We have more to discuss. So if you join us on the stream, we will continue that.
Yes.
Does that sound okay?
And if you don't join us, we will not.
No, we're still going to.
We still will.
Yeah.
Okay.
And coming up here on 720, the stories that matter with Don Kleppen from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom.